Hey, welcome to Sports Hook. Okay, I know. It's Wednesday. It's not Thursday, but there's a lot going on, and we're going to tell you why. We've got Wednesday night Sports Look brought to you here on Care Radio by Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, Exchange Bank, and Petro Convenience Stores. Gus Counts with me here, Tom Counts, and the reason we're here on Wednesday night is going to be very clear as we go through this upcoming schedule, just jammed up, because tomorrow night, Benedictine, in a three-game week, is going to be playing a Thursday night game. So instead of Sports Hook tomorrow night, we're going to have Benedictine basketball from Baldwin City, the Ravens and Baker, 5:30 ladies game, 7:30 for the guys game. Friday night, we're going to be back in Valley Falls. It is going to be the Valley Falls Dragons Boys Invitational Tournament. Second round games going on there. We'll have games at 6 and at 7:30 on Friday. Then, Saturday, Benedictine is back at home. And we need to talk about this a little bit. We'll talk about it more later. But, Gus, Saturday, you know, we were thinking it's going to be normal Saturday times, but it is not. And we talked to Coach Moody post-game Monday night, and he said they were working on it. Well, they've got to put together. Benedictine is going to be playing the ladies' game at noon, the guys' game at 2 o'clock Saturday up in the Nolan Gymnasium. They're back home after three games to start the season on the or to this week on the road. Here's the deal. There seems to be something else that people might want to watch on in sports-wise a little later in the afternoon. We'll talk about that. So Saturday, 12 and 2. The next Monday, we're going to be at the JCN Girls Invitational Tournament Monday and Tuesday. Next Wednesday, it's Benedictine at Central Methodist. And other than that, there's not much going on.
Yeah, not a lot, right? It's a quiet time.
So anyhow, with that all said, we're going to just jump right into high school basketball. A couple of interesting games that we got to see in the Valley Falls Boys Tournament last night down in Valley Falls. And so, Gus, I'm pulling into the high school, going up the street, minding my own business, and the street is gone. The street disappeared. On the west side of the Valley Falls High School, you know, where the new gym, the gold gym, the west gym, you know, on the west side of that, where the street goes alongside the building, not anymore. They're putting up an additional new big structure, kind of like they're doing at Effingham on the west side of their high school, putting up an additional structure out there. So the street's a little bit redone. Parking is a little bit revamped temporarily, I suspect. And so anyway, we go down there and we see a couple of good games at JCN guys. Very impressive in winning in game number one. And then we got to see Perry LeCompton in game number two with a win. And I love it. We talk about this all the time. Love seeing teams who never play each other. Teams from different conferences, even though they're pretty close. I mean, how cool is it? JCN, Jeff County North, playing Jeff County West. And Valley Falls right in between the two of them. And again, teams that never meet. So that's part of the fun of tournament week.
Yeah, it gives you a chance to kind of see some of those teams that you're just not used to seeing match up against each other. And, Perry LeCompton comes away with, a 20-point win in that ball game. And then you had JCN knocking off Jeff West 50-43. So it's kind of fun and it's kind of crazy, though. We look at it and we talk about our thirds of the season, right? Like, you talk about that to Christmas, and then from Christmas to tournament week. Well, tournament week's a little earlier this year, so, you know, but for some of these teams, they're going to get next week off because that's going to be the off week. But, you know, you start looking at things. I mean, we're going to talk more about it in segment two and three. Benedictine's down to 10 games remaining. I mean, like, you start looking at a schedule that was, you know, this long, is we're now down to the bottom portion of the season, and it's flying by really quick. I mean, we'll be talking about sub-states here in the next few weeks.
Yeah, and again, you say it's early, but it's now basically two tournament weeks because they've kind of split it up. Some schools are doing boys tournament and then girls tournament, and so. But that said, you know, by the end of next week, by the end of that tournament, we're going to be at the end of January.
Yeah,
it's going to be February.
I was going to say, what does Ryan call it? Moving month. Right?
Moving month coming up.
We're there.
So anyhow, that all said, it's going to be kind of interesting to see how the tournaments all shake out. And we've got boys basketball tournament tomorrow night. And we saw Atchison go up to Nemaha Central. And again, here's another one of those circumstances where teams playing different teams, and Atchison went up there, and, well, I think they made the Meadowlark proud.
Yeah, Atchison, the number five team in Class 4A. They're 8-1 on the season. Their only loss came to, hey, what, number one ranked Highland Park team?
Yeah,
I mean, they were way too much for Jackson Heights, and I think everybody knew that going into that matchup. Now, it'll be interesting to see how they kind of match up with some of the other teams, because Jackson Heights is a smaller team in this little bit of a tournament invitational, if you will. But now we're going to see pool play continue on Thursday. Jackson Heights will play Nemaha Central. Maryville is going to take on St. Mary's, and then Atchison will finish off the evening as they're going to square off with St. Mary's Academy. Not St. Mary's, but St. Mary's Academy. And St. Mary's Academy had no problems with Nemaha Central the other night, beating them 53-39.
Yeah, so Atchison scoring 74 points. You mentioned they go to 8-1. And Jace Richards, tell you what, if you've not had a chance to watch the Phoenix and see Atchison play, Jace Richards last year played a lot as a freshman. He is only a sophomore. This young man, he is big. He's long. I mean, he is just a good athlete for this team. Threw down 25 points and 10 rebounds, a little double-double last night. And so he paced the Phoenix and Atchison, and they're just playing really well. Coach Battle's got them doing some really, really good things.
Yeah, other games from up there at that little invitational, Marysville knocked off Hiawatha 49-38, and it was St. Mary's Academy 53-39 over Nemaha Central. So for the Atchison guys, playing really good basketball, it's good to see them, you know, with such success that they're having right now.
And so, of course, you know, girls not necessarily getting a ton of attention because typically it's going to be girls' tournament next week. But, of course, there are girls playing in, like, the McLeod tournament, which is boys and girls both going on right now. So you've got that going on down in McLeod. A lot of the schools around here have always gone to the McLeod tournament. Of course, the Tonganoxie tournament is underway this week. So, fun
times.
You know,
and some of these teams and some of these schools are adding tournaments, right? Like, Valley Falls was never a team or a school, you know, for years. They never had a midseason tournament. Now they have one. It feels like you see Sabetha usually find themselves somewhere around, you know, that Baldwin area for a midseason tournament. It's like, you know, either they go to, oh, I can't even think of where it is. It's in the Baldwin area, right? Maybe they do play
maybe
at
Wellsville.
Baldwin. It might be Wellsville. They've played at Iola, I feel like, in the past. So Tonganoxie always has a big midseason tournament. So anyway, it's kind of fun to see these teams branch out a little bit, play teams that we're not used to them seeing. And, yeah, like Sabetha's going to play Paola. You're going to have Nemaha Central, Marysville, Waubunsee, Royal Valley. So just some interesting. Maranatha, Horton, Metro Academy is going to be at Holton coming up. So, again, it's kind of cool to see some of these teams matching up.
Yeah, and of course, I was just alluding a little bit to the McLeod tournament. I'm familiar with some of the teams going down there. And Marymount Academy, Lady Ravens are going to be playing tomorrow night down there. They drew the late game, an 8-10 start in McLeod, and they've got a tough opponent in Bishop Ward in that 8-10 game. So,
can I tell you, as I look up and down like the schedule of games and teams, you could give me a map, and I couldn't hit a lot of these schools.
Really?
Like Clifton Clyde? I think I think somebody made that up. I don't know if that's a real name, but no, I mean, like, you know, Peyton, I give him a lot of crap because, you know, he's a great guy, but Axel, I don't know. I would have to ask somebody to get out there, right? Like, is that on 36 past Seneca, maybe?
Yeah, no.
No.
Okay.
I'm thinking of, you know, that area. So, again, it's kind of cool, though, that you're seeing these teams match up. You've got Washington County, we talked about, but, like, Rossville and Valley Falls, those are two teams that are kind of close, but just wouldn't match up because of the size and you just don't see those teams play each other very much. So, again, I love this time of the year. Care Paravel is one of those teams we always see in that McLeod tournament. Care Paravel and Maranatha, right? Those are the teams that, like, kind of the staples of that McLeod tournament. I don't know why. I think that's the only time you ever saw those teams, really.
And, of course, you know, so that we don't overlook, wrestling season is in full swing going on right now. And this weekend, Atchison is going to be traveling. Talked about down in the Paola area. Atchison's going to be at the Paola tournament this weekend. So you've got that going on. Pleasant Ridge is also going to be down there. There's going to be a lot of teams from around the area. Onega goes to Council Grove. Marysville is going out to Beloit. You're familiar with Beloit, right? And Riverside at Rock Creek. I know you know where Rock Creek's at.
Yeah, I've been to Rock Creek.
Flush, Kansas.
So, again, yeah, wrestling's in full swing. I mean, it won't be long before you're starting to talk about, you know, the end of season and starting to look at those regionals and things like that for wrestling.
Yeah, you know what else we're going to be talking about soon? Spring football.
Yeah, spring football. Segment four, we're going to talk about how many days till spring training baseball. I mean, college baseball's got to be, like, almost here, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like they're
practicing. They're going. Yeah.
So, again, you're starting to hit that overlap of all these seasons, and it's just a fun time to be a fan of all these sports.
Yep. Get out. Watch those tournaments, and, of course, you're going to be enjoying games. Every night there are games. We're going to have some games here on Care Radio. Taking a quick break. We'll be back. It is Wednesday night sports look. How fun is that? We'll return right after this. Back with you here on Sports Look on Care Radio, Wednesday evening edition. Benedictine, guest playing this week, and this is why we're here tonight, because Benedictine playing, like in the old days, a Monday, Thursday, Saturday basketball week. And speaking of which, Monday, we were over in Marshall, Missouri, as Benedictine hosted at Missouri Valley. The BC ladies, man, they battled tough, they played so hard, but Valley was able to come away with a 78-72 hard-fought win over Benedictine. And Lady Ravens, I tell you what, I thought they played pretty well. They didn't, you know, the numbers were okay. But Missouri Valley, they bring in a lot of talented players. They bring in a global team. I mean, they've got kids from half of the nations in the UN.
Yeah, so for Benedictine, the ladies fell behind in the first quarter a little bit and kind of got themselves in a hole, but did a great job fighting back. They retook the lead there in the third quarter, but they got behind 22-14 to start things. And you talk about Missouri Valley. Head coach Ben Lister, when he was at Baker, he did a great job of casting a small net, right? He was getting those players from, you know, near the school. But Missouri Valley has always recruited internationally, right? I mean, whether it's the women's team or the guys' team, I mean, you feel like they've got kids from Australia, Spain, Brazil, you know, just all over the globe, and they've done a good job of that. Well, now at Missouri Valley, he's kind of embraced that. He has the girl from Spain that had a really nice game for Valley the other night, and so Lister starting to put together a program now down there at Missouri Valley, who only in his second year is still trying to get everything facing the right way, but they are a team that's probably on the rise.
Yeah, he's going to do a good job with them. It's probably a pretty good fit for him, you know, bringing in the number of kids they bring in and the way that they recruit. Also good for him is he was able to lure his old assistant for back in his Baker days before he and that program separated themselves from one another. And he brought him in, a very, very, very veteran coach, as his assistant. So it's always good to surround yourself with like-minded people who know your system and know what you're wanting to do and where you're going to go with it all.
Yeah, and you know, you talk about things that are getting better, and for the Lady Ravens, they're getting healthier. Right, I think maybe that was the one thing you took away from that Missouri Valley game the other day is starting to get some players back, right? Just a couple weeks ago, I feel like there are a lot of names that we weren't talking about. Finally getting some of those players back and trying to reintegrate them into the system and get things on the right path for the last 10 games.
But two very notable players who are still not back in the game yet and missing for the first time after injuring an ankle, a frightening injury down at Mid-America. Alec Kramer is in a boot and on crutches right now, 10 at the ball game. So you do lose your starting point, but you know, you can come out there with Kennedy Nicholson, who did this last year when Allie got injured, and you know, she does a fantastic job. Love how she plays the game, and so you've got that. And of course, you're still missing your five, And at that point, you know, if you got a 6'3" post that's not playing, you know, you're waiting for her to get back. Talking to her the other night, she showed me her hand. She said, "Hey, you know, I think that I'm a couple of weeks or so maybe, and I'm going to be back." But Gus, I got to tell you, she got her hand stepped on and broken in the game a week ago. 2 days later, she had surgery on it to get it put back together and okay. And I looked at it. It's not a cast. It's not wrapped up. It's nothing. And she showed it to me and how she was like wiggling her fingers and everything. That hand is the most remarkable shade of purple I have ever seen. I mean, the whole hand, not just like the palm or the fingers. I mean, from the wrist up, it's a lovely shade.
I was going to say, athletes are always proud of what shade of purple something is.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You know, whether it's an ankle, a knee, a hand, or whatever. But, yeah. You know, maybe an eye, depending on the game. You know, but for the Lady Ravens, you talk about missing a lot of players and some of the players that they're getting back. But how many times do we go to a game, and the one thing we always walk away from a game saying, to realize how good a player is, could that player start for other teams, or does another player, or does another team want that player? And for Benedictine, how about Jennifer Jacobs?
Yep.
I mean, she just continues to do well. She had played 30 minutes the other night. She was, 5-7 from the free throw line. She had 15 points, 4 assists. I mean, those are not the type of numbers you would expect from the position that she plays.
Right. And I'll tell you what, also you had Aaliyah Rain. She continues to be a double-figure scorer for this team. They need her to score.
She also continues to be a 35-plus minute a night player.
No question about
it. Right? Like, it's Aaliyah, we can't afford to not have you out there.
Not every kid can go 30, 35 minutes. Mm-hmm. She can. I mean, she's just a tremendous athlete. She's a senior that, you know, right now that these people are really, I think, looking to for that leadership. And Twyla comes into the game. What does she do? How about a double-double?
Yeah. Twyla putting together a really nice season. But she have 12 rebounds, 12 points, and, you know, she continues to play good for this team. They're able to go now to the bench a little bit. Michaela Bauman played 21 minutes and gave you 5 points. You had Raina Jasper. Kiana Herrera is starting to get healthy. So, again, you're able to get some of these pieces. But for the Lady Ravens, you know, you talk about a player who looking to be back in about 2 weeks. The problem with 2 weeks is when you have 10 games left, take 2 weeks out. That's 4 of those games, you know?
No. The next problem for Benedictine is this conference is pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really loaded at the top, and it's fairly solid in the middle. I mean, there's where you look for that. You always look for where's the line? The line is a little hard to find right now. Central Methodist and Grandview, they're way above the line, 11-0 and 11-1. Methodist is 17-0. I mean, they're both extremely good. Clark is 16-2, 10-2 in the conference, and even Mid-America at 9-3. And 12-5. Then it starts getting fuzzy. You got Culver coming in. Then Evangel, Valley, and Penn are 5-7. Then 4 win teams, Baker, Mount Mercy. And then Benedictine finds itself in that lower third with, you know, Graceland, BC, Peru, Park, all, you know, hovering around. And, you know, you don't want to talk about it, but in all candor, you got to be saying, I got to get to the tournament here.
Yeah, I mean, I think right now you don't focus on winning the conference, because that's out the door. And we've talked about it on Sports Hook a lot. I don't think Central Methodist is going to lose a game. So basically, once you lost a game in this conference, you're kind of out of that title hunt. So right now, you need to start looking forward to the postseason. Goal number one, make the tournament. Goal number two, then just try to get the best seed you can. So I think for the Lady Ravens, you're just going to have to bear down here over the next few weeks and try to pull off as many wins as you can, because, again, you do have a portion of the schedule coming up right now that there are some wins to be had. You're going to play Baker, who is okay, but they're not great. Then Saturday, you're going to get Park here in Atchison. That is the only noon game in the conference. Park right there, you know, at the bottom of the conference. So, again, you really need to get these two wins, because then next week you're going to go to Central Methodist. You're going to be back home with Mid-America, and then you're going to be in Springfield for Evangel. So, I mean, again, it's crazy, but we're flying through the second half of this season.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And when you look real quickly at the schedule coming up for these teams, and it's hard to believe that we're already, you know, past the middle of January, and on tomorrow, a lot of Thursday games this week around the conference. Is you're going to have Mount Mercy at Peru. Valley is going to travel over to Culver Stockton. You've got Grandview at William Penn. Clark goes to Graceland. Mid-America is going to make the tough trip to Central Methodist. And then you've got Evangel at Park. And, of course, the games here on K-Radio Benedictine at Baker Thursday night, tomorrow night. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. We got so much to talk about. Wednesday Night Sports Look continues right after this. Welcome back to Sports Look here on Care Radio. Gus Counts with me, Tom Counts, and the Benedictine guys. Gus, when we were over at Missouri Valley the other night, didn't get much more thrilling than the BC win over there as the Ravens go to OT and take in the W 77-75. And that game was not decided until the final horn sounded. And it came right down to the very, very end. Congratulations, Coach Moody and the guys, as they continue to have really a good season in what I think some people thought were going to be a rebuilding year. You graduate 7 seniors last year, and, you know, you bring back a couple, and you're going, well, you know, these guys are good, but we've got a lot of young people to incorporate. Well, they've incorporated them pretty quickly.
Yeah, the Ravens have some upperclassmen that are playing that haven't had a whole lot of experience because the class they just lost had so much experience. But then you're trying to take those upperclassmen that don't have a whole lot of experience, you're trying to infuse those with the, you know, incoming freshmen and some of the new guys into the program. And for Coach Moody, he's done a great job of being able to blend this together. Night in and night out, it's kind of your typical Ryan Moody team in the sense of you're not really sure who's going to have the hot night, right? Like the other night for Benedictine, last week it was Sam Ungashick. A couple nights ago down in Marshall, Braden Belt puts up 18 points where he goes 7 of 14 from the floor, 4 of 10 from behind the arc. And, you know, right behind him, Ungashick, 50% from the floor. He had 14 points. And
okay, let's talk about Sam real quick. He is certainly would get my vote. I have none. But if I did, we're talking freshman of the year in a conference?
Mm-hmm.
He's got to be in the running.
Yeah, you would think so, right? I mean, and
he's been phenomenal.
To this point in the season, you've seen most, if not every, team in the conference. And, yeah, I mean, he's right up there.
And what a tough position to be the freshman of the year at the point.
At the point. And not just a point, like, you're at a school who had a really good point guard for the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, oh, yeah.
So that's a tough spot to step into and say, hey, try to fill this, you know. And I think Sam has done a great job. And he not only scores for you, but he's kind of that solid hand when you need him to hold on to the rock. Had 5 assists the other night. Gotten into a little foul trouble getting up to 3. But, again, a nice evening for Sam. Excuse me, 4 fouls the other night. So, you know, he had a conference player of the week just a few weeks ago. So, again, yeah, he's doing a good job of padding that resume for that potential award.
And you talk about guys returning. Jaden Timmy continues to play well. He had a dozen points. Unfortunately, fouled out in the course of the ball game, you know, toward the end. And Coach Moody, it's not just one of those teams, and you see a lot of them. They're, you know, they're 6, they're going to be 7 deep, you know, that's kind of what you're playing. No. Benedict, they were 11 guys played Monday night.
Yeah, you know, you got some minutes out of, like, a Hunter Schneider. You got Joel Adise stepping in there. And there are going to be nights where you need those guys to step in because, again, Benedictine's not the tallest team in the world. And there are going to be some of those teams that are just big, and they're going to try to pound it in underneath. And so you got to find a way to counter that. And it's kind of nice that you're able to go to the bench and bring some of those guys in.
Yeah, having fresh legs, you know, when you're a little bit smaller, banging around with that 5 in the middle, you're going to have that. And that's where, you know, you've got a Tyson Cathy, and you're also going to be able to bring in a Adise, and you're going to bring in Hunter. You think anybody wants to push around Hunter Schneider all night?
No. So he's a big guy, does a good job for this team. 3 rebounds the other night for the Ravens. And for Coach Moody's team, they improved to 10-8. And I had to laugh because in the post game, it took Coach a second to go, I guess we are in double figures, right? Like that is our 10th win of the season. So to get to 10-8, 8-4 in the heart, and again, you find yourself in a pretty good spot when you're looking at the standings in the heart, because at 8-4, you're kind of in that second tier, and you're only in third place.
There are only
right?
three teams above you with more wins, because Mid-America is 9, you beat them. Evangel's got 10, almost beat them. Penn's got a dozen wins, 12-0, and leading the conference. So
and
you're up in that upper echelon.
And you could have beat them.
Could have beat them.
Right? Like, you were at their place and took them down to the wire.
Yeah.
So, again, on the ladies' side, we talk about Central Methodist, and we don't really think that anybody's going to knock them off this season, right? I feel like if there's a chance for somebody to go undefeated, they're going to probably do it. On the guys' side, I don't have that faith in Penn, right? They played too close. Benedictine almost got them a couple weeks ago. What, Peru State took him into overtime. So I just don't think that's going to happen as much on the guys' side.
Okay, now let's talk about something else. Another topic that we bounce to about this time every year. Let's just look forward as we're about ready to go into the second half of the conference season. We've got one game left, and then we go into the second half here, okay? Now, magic number is 20 to get to the national tournament. Benedictine is at 10, okay? 13, right, games left, probably, something like that, 13 games left.
Like 11, yeah.
Yeah, okay, or rather, yeah, 10 or 11, no, they got more than that left, right? Because you're going to go through the second round of this, so you're going to have 12, 13 more games in the second half of the conference season.
Okay.
Can you get 10 more?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and I say yeah because I got a lot of faith in this team, right? They know how to win games, right? And they've not been blown out yet this season. There might be one game that's slipping my mind at the moment. But there's not a game where you walked away and you said, man, that team was just much better, right? Like, in some years that happens, right? Some years there have been some Penn teams that you say, whew. That's a really good team, you know. But I just think that Benedictine is right there with all these teams. They know how to beat these teams. They play that defense that frustrates a lot of teams. So, again, I think they could get there.
And, again, you're going to be playing some teams that, you know, have some not very good records. You got Mount Mercy is a 4-13 team, and Valley, 5-13, 5 wins for Park. Culver's at 7. Grandview's a 5-win team. Clark, under 500, Central Methodist under 500. So you got some teams there that you'd feel like you really should beat. And then you got the teams very similar to you with an 11-7 Graceland and a 13 win Baker in Peru, a 14 win Mid-America. I mean, teams that you have and can beat. So 20 games, if 20 is the magic number, it is very attainable for Benedict. I mean, you're going to have to play well, okay? You're not just going to dance through this, but it is a reachable and a realistic number, not some pie-in-the-sky number.
Yeah. So, I mean, for Benedictine, though, you're just going to have to take them one game at a time, and I know that's that old cliche of, oh, yeah, you can't play two at a time. But, I mean, like, you've got some winnable games coming up, but you have some really tough games, right? Like, at Baker is always difficult. Home with Park, I don't care what year it is. Coach Klein always has that team ready to go. Going to Central Methodist is going to be a tough one. You get Mid-America back at your place here in, like, what, 2 weeks, week and a half? Yeah. And so it's crazy that's how fast things are going to fly through here in the next few days.
Okay, so Benedictine has played Baker once. We're going to start the second half of this conference season. Can you believe it was in, are you ready for this, November when these teams played? And Baker was able to come to Atchison and was able to win that game. This is not, and just I'm just giving Baker a heads up Coach Dooley doesn't know this. This is not the same Benedictine team that you played in November. This team is, I think, incrementally better.
Yeah, and I think that we talked about that a moment ago. Like, this team is learning how to play, right? Like they're getting better. If you would have asked me back on November 30th what I would have thought of this team, I'm like, oh, it's going to be one of those rebuilding years. This team has, you know, sped that whole process up. They're figuring it out. They're getting on the same page. I mean, they found themselves close with William Penn right after that. But then they've been able to knock off some wins. They went into the Christmas break on a 3-game win streak. They got 5 in a row. They've won 7 of their last 8 games. I mean, that's one of those things that this team's hot. And sometimes that's just difficult to play against.
Yeah, the last time these two teams played, only one guy in double figures. Preston Reynolds had 18, and you had like 7 for Sam and Braden. You had 5 for Ahmad. I know, 1 of 9 shooting. This team is, you know, I'm like you. I think I've got a lot of faith in how this thing is going to shake out.
So, games going on around the conference. Well, I guess we kind of hit on that on the ladies' side with, you know, Saturday. We hit the Thursday game, so let's just jump straight to the Saturday games. Clark is going to be at Grandview. Park will be at Benedictine. William Penn will be at Graceland. Central Methodist at Baker. Mount Mercy at Mid-America. Peru at Culver. And then you're going to have Valley at Evangel are the Saturday games. And what? There's only 2 games that are noon and 2, and that's Clark and Grandview, Park and Benedictine.
Yes, and again, we're going to keep talking about this and keep reminding you, Saturday Benedictine games, of course they're on Care Radio, they all are. 12 o'clock for the ladies, 2 o'clock for the guys. Get you back home so you can watch the game at GEHA Stadium. Taking a break. We'll be back. We got some rapid fire and some cool stuff coming up. Don't go away. Back with you here, rapid fire part of Sports Look on a Wednesday night. Gus, we alluded to it at the end of the third segment that the Kansas City Chiefs are going to be at home Saturday afternoon. It is a 3:30 kickoff, Arrowhead Stadium, the Chiefs and the Jaguars.
Yeah, so it was just a few weeks ago it felt like the Chiefs and Jags met up, but that was a 7-3 Kansas City team against a 3-7 Jaguars team at that time. The Jags have gone in a much better direction after losing that game to Kansas City. But do you remember that game? It was one of those where the Jags felt probably outmatched from the start because they started that game with the onside kick, and it was one of those things where, you know, Kansas City is just the much better team. But again, you're into the playoffs. Trevor Lawrence, we talked about it 2 weeks ago here on Sports Look, that Trevor Lawrence is really quietly playing one of the best quarterbacking positions this season. So it's one of those things that I think that Jacksonville should scare you a little bit, but at the end of the day, I don't think Kansas City is really going to have any problems with them.
The only thing that they can't do is take them lightly, even though they came into the postseason a 500 team at 8-8. Now they are 9-8 after their first round stunning win.
Yeah, and the quarterback for Jacksonville, Trevor Lawrence, pretty good on Saturdays, right? Going all the way back to his high school career, he is 37-0 in Saturday games. So it's one of those things. You're getting your former offensive coordinator, Doug Peterson, former quarterback under Andy Reid with Philadelphia, and Doug Peterson is the head coach for Jacksonville. But again, when you've got 15, you should be okay.
Yeah, and again, Kansas City, 8.5-point favorites.
Don't take the cover.
You don't think so? See, playoffs are a different thing.
They're just a different animal, and Kansas City doesn't blow anybody out, right? No. And 8.5 is a lot of points in an NFL game. So, again,
so is a 52.5 over-under.
Yeah, but I just think that that's kind of on the whole thing that both these teams are going to score, right?
Also, on Saturday, you're going to have an NFC game. It's the night game. The Chiefs game's at 3:30, and then at 7:15, you're going to have the Giants at the Eagles. Are the Giants a giant killer?
Maybe, right? Like, the Giants are going to be able to hold with the Eagles. And I think there's a big question still about how Jalen Hurts' shoulder has healed up and where exactly he is. And people forget that this Giants team is starting to figure some things out. Their defensive coordinator is Wink Martindale, who they brought in from Baltimore, who had great defenses for years. Their head coach is their offensive coordinator, and that's Brian Daboll, who for years was with the Bills, and he's the one who kind of turned Josh Allen around. And Saquon Barkley, say what you will, but he looked so good and rested against the Vikings. I mean, I know you love to hear this, but when you have a run game like that, you're going to be tough to beat.
I don't think there's any question about it. So the Eagles are going to have their hands full, even though they come in with the very best record in the NFC at 14-3.
Do you care about that game at all, either?
That game, no. It's but just, the Sunday games are pretty interesting.
Right, but that I think Giants and Eagles would be good. It just doesn't move the needle much for me.
Now, here's the one that pegs the needle, probably bends the needle.
Yeah.
Sunday at noon, or at 2, Sunday at 2, it's going to be Bengals at Bills. This is what people want to see.
Yeah, so you're going to rewind a couple weeks, right? And basically, it's the game we saw that we didn't see, right?
Yes.
It is the game that got started that never finished, and there was a lot of questions.
Put the whole postseason in a quandary.
Yeah, and it's one of those games where I think you're going to see some craziness, and if you're a Chiefs fan, you're so thankful that it happened for this game and not yours. Carl Cheffers is going to be the white hat for this game, which...
Oh, good night.
Yeah! So, again, you want to talk about some phantom pass interferences, you're going to see some really bad roughing the passer calls, and if you're a Chiefs fan, you're just glad it wasn't your game. I don't know. I know that Buffalo is a 4.5-point favorite. Can I tell you, for some reason in the back of my mind, because I watched the Bills and Dolphins the other day, and I just thought the Bills looked bad, right? The Dolphins hung with them with Skylar Thompson, and it was one of those things where you're just like, this is not a great Dolphins team, and they probably had a shot to win that game. I think the Bengals just boat raced the Bills this game.
So like, is it really not, you know, Allen and Burrow show? Is that the marquee that you put up there? I mean, or does this game not run maybe deeper than beyond those two guys?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it is. At the end of the day, it's them. And now the problem is, if you're Josh Allen, you can't lose. And the reason I say that is, you've already lost twice in the postseason to Patrick Mahomes, and if you lose to Joe Burrow, all of a sudden you went from kind of being that 1A guy that everybody wants to talk about next to, here's Patrick and Joe Burrow. Oh, and then there's Josh Allen and Justin Herbert and Trevor Lawrence, right? Like you're going to fall into that sea of really good young quarterbacks, but not the elite young quarterbacks. So I think this game is bigger for Allen than it is for Burrow, but at the end of the day, I just think this Bengals team is hitting on all cylinders.
Yeah, and for a Bills team that for the majority of the season, if you're not in the Kansas City metro, the people around the nation thought was the best team in football.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're the Shield, if you're the NFL, if you're Roger Goodell, don't you want to see the Bengals and the Chiefs again?
Yeah.
Sure you
do. Like, I mean, people love it. The Bengals have a shot to go 4-0 against Kansas City, Joe Burrow. Because here's the deal.
A rematch from last year. Yeah.
Joe Burrow, and you have Josh Allen. Josh Allen's a really good quarterback, but he's a little dry. He doesn't have that personality that Joe Burrow does, right? Like you put Burrow up on a stage and people want to listen to him. People think, man, that guy has a lot of characteristics and, you know, the way he carries himself, he looks like a winner. Like the NFL would love nothing more.
He and I dressed alike too.
Right, exactly. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. You know, I mean, yes. Cigar choices probably
the
same.
Yeah, all of it, all of it.
But, you know, you talk about next week that they would love nothing more than to put Mahomes and Burrow, right? I mean, that sells. And so, anyway, when it's all said and done, I don't know that this game will be as close as people are thinking. Buffalo, a 4-point favorite, 4.5-point favorite, over under 48.5. I think we blow by the over under, and I think the Bengals win by a couple touchdowns.
Okay, well, if you've got that, then how do you turn around on the other side? And if it's Burrow, Mahomes, but what about Prescott, Garoppolo?
Well, it would be
for the second game on Sunday.
Is Garoppolo going to play?
I'm under the impression.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, so they were saying back when he got hurt that he could be back for the playoffs, and it was one of those things where, you know, Brock Purdy has played so good for this team. And
do you not make the change? Let's say they're both healthy.
No.
Now what do you do?
I don't know. I mean, that's why you get paid what you do if you're Kyle Shanahan, but I don't change it. I think Brock Purdy has played so well. And again, the 49ers are going to go into the offseason with a problem. They're going to have Garoppolo, who I think is on an expiring contract right now. You're going to have Trey Lance, who was like your 3 overall pick. And then you're going to have Mr. Irrelevant, Brock Purdy. who has only led them through the second half of the season playing undefeated football.
Okay, I'm going to interrupt you because I'm just looking down at my scan here, and I'm seeing Garoppolo out.
Okay.
I'm just doing the quick research here.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, it was one of those things where they were hoping he could be back in time, but you just weren't sure. So if Brock Purdy plays, again, I just don't know how much faith I can have in this Cowboys team, and they could go out and win the whole thing. They can go out and win the whole thing, and I'm still sitting there going, yeah, but I don't know that I really bought into anything they did this year.
Last game of the regular season, Dak Prescott looked horrible. First playoff game, he looked invincible.
Yeah.
He's such a Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah, and that's one of those things that's going to hurt you, right? Like, you need to be kind of in the middle at all times, not really high, really low kind of a thing. I think for the Cowboys, the bigger question becomes kicker. Right, you know, I mean, because Marr missed
one. Oh,
that one.
Was a great story.
Well, he missed one at the end of their last game and then goes in the playoffs and misses, what, four of his five? And so what, he ended up actually missing five in a row because he missed the first four and then the last one of the game before that. So he had missed five PATs in a row. If you're the Cowboys and they don't move on because of a missed field goal or PAT, I mean, Jerry's going to probably melt.
He'll have a fit. So that's going to be a pretty good Sunday night game. For the most part, all the games are going to be, they're watchable games, right?
Yes, yeah. This time of the year, though, you kind of figure that.
Hey, shifting over a little bit to other college basketball, last night, Kansas State was able to sneak out a win at home by one over Kansas in OT. Did you see the guy laying on the baseline at the end of the game?
I think that's kind of the conspiracy today. Is, well, you know, if he had the 2 seconds because he was out, well, you know. But K-State did. They did the things they needed to.
Bill Self called a timeout that made me cry.
That was one of those things that you sat there. You know what happened last night is Jerome Tang made himself a lot of money.
Yeah.
Right? So if you start looking at the landscape of Kansas State athletics, let's big picture this first, okay? Bill Self's base salary is like $5.5 million.
It's 5+, yeah.
Yeah, and he ends up around 10 every year by the time he gets his incentives. Okay? So let's just figure Bill Self's a $8 million coach, okay?
Okay.
Lance Leipold is $5 million. Then you have Chris Kleiman just a little under that $5 million, which is crazy that he's making less than Lance Leipold is at KU. But then you have Tang making right at $2 million a year. Okay? The Texas job is going to come open. It is open. He's going to get lots of calls for that. If Calipari, by some reason, goes to Texas, I'm going to tell you Kentucky's going to knock down the door and tell Tang, hey, here's a big bag of cash, take it. I just don't think Tang stays. I think that win last night is going to just propel him into a space where K-State's going to feel like they can't pay him because, again, he's going to want to get closer to Bill money. And if he does that, then Kleiman's going to say, wait a second, I am the lowest paid Division I big-time school. Like so then you have to pay him more, and it's just kind of that revolving door thing. But it was a good win, and I think he's got that team playing right. And you know the other thing he's done? I feel like he kind of has Craig Doty'd this thing, and if you're a Heart of America player person, you understand what I'm saying there. He brought in a real nice group of guys. They're all transfers. They're all seniors. You're going to win a lot of games this year. Strike while the iron's hot, right? Because next year, the Big 12 is going to introduce the number one team in the country, Houston. They're going to bring in BYU. You're going to still have Baylor. You're going to have Oklahoma State, Iowa State. I mean, like, this conference is going to get much more difficult next year, and that's hard to say in a conference that's always the best one.
No, it is. The Big 12. How many times have I told you this?
Basketball conference.
It's a basketball conference. In fact, the Big 12 is the very best basketball conference in the nation.
Yeah.
I mean, you can look at any number that you want to. They got the highest BPI rating of any other conference. The weakest team in the conference, Texas Tech.
Yep.
They've got a higher ranking than all but the number one team in the Big Ten. Okay? Yep. You got three teams in the top 10 in the conference with Kansas, Texas, and Baylor. Okay? The 10 hardest remaining schedules in the nation belong to the 10 teams in the Big 12.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a basketball conference, and it is the basketball conference.
Yeah, and like I said, just throw Houston in it next year and say, hey, here's the number one team in the country. Let's just keep beefing up your conference.
Yeah.
And so I think that, you know, it's going to get crazy. So for Kansas, they're going to be at home on Saturday. They're going to get TCU. That's a noon tip-off. Texas Tech will be at Kansas State. That's a 1 o'clock tip. Then you go to Monday night. Kansas goes to Waco.
On one day off. Two nationally ranked teams.
Yep. And then Tuesday night, Kansas State is going to travel up to Hilton. And
that's a hard place to play.
Crazy. Like, not only is Hilton always a difficult place to play, it's even worse with Iowa State, the number 12 team in the country.
There you go. Great basketball coming up all around the things. And, yes, beyond football, we've talked about basketball, we've talked about, there is hot stove baseball.
Yeah, how about that? 26 days until spring training. I feel
is
like
that pitchers and catchers reporting?
Yeah, yep.
Yeah.
Pitchers and catchers in 26 days. But it's one of those things where that'll sneak up on us pretty quick. The Royals still probably have a few more decisions to make on players, and I think you're going to see them add a pitcher at some
point. Do they trade off Salvador Perez?
No.
A lot of people talking.
I know you talk about it, but at the end of the day, you just can't, right? Like, people will fall over and have problems. And can I tell you, the biggest thing right now for Sherman is, if that was a decision you wanted to make, like if you wanted to trade Salvi, right now is the time to do it. Do it when the Chiefs are in a national title contention.
When nobody's looking.
People will kind of forget about it until the first game rolls around. They say, wait a second, where'd he go?
Who's catching?
Yeah, exactly. So,
okay. Now, what we're doing is a lot of stuff. Tomorrow, it's Benedictine at Baker, 5:30 and 7:30, ladies and guys. Friday night, high school basketball here at K-Radio. We're going to be back down at Valley Falls, 6 and 7:30. Saturday, Benedictine at home with Park. Check those times, 12 noon for the ladies, 2 o'clock for the guys. They're going to have Courtside Cafe. They're going to have student appreciation, all that stuff going on at the Nolan, 12 and 2 on Saturday. Monday night, we're going to travel down to Winchester. It's a JCN Invitational Girls Tournament. Also on Tuesday, we'll be there. And the next Wednesday, we go over to Fayette, Puckett Fieldhouse. Bring your binoculars. It is Benedictine at Central Methodist. That floor is a long, long way from where we're sitting. Hey, we got to thank our great sponsors. They're so good to us. Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, Exchange Bank, and Petro Convenience Store. Thanks for being with us on a Wednesday night. Until we greet you from the gyms, for Gus Kautz, Tom Kautz. So long, everybody.